Okay, so over Shabbos, I've been learning Yehoshua. We've been learning Yehoshua, me and Mayor, or Mayor and I. This is Mayor, for those who don't know. Say hi, Mayor.
Hi.
So we finished.
Hello, Mayor.
So we finished Yehoshua. Well, we finished Yehoshua and Yoma over Shabbos. So I figure I'd give something that connects. What did you say, Chaim?
Mazel tov.
Thank you, thank you. We've been going pretty fast because we also made a siyum, a little bit of a delayed siyum on Shkalim on Shabbos, but then we actually finished Yoma and right before that Erevin. But okay, vacation's great. So there's one thing that appears in our parsha that also appears several times in Yehoshua that I didn't necessarily pay attention to enough, but Meir is much more detail oriented than I am, and we have looked at every map to understand every detail of a Sefer Yehoshua. So let's try it. So in Parshat Ki Tavo we have the brachot and the klalot. Now, where do the brachot and the klalot happen? On what mountains?
Har Grizim and Har Eval.
Very good. Now, Har Grizim and Har Eval, and this is what we hear in Perek Chav Zayin, which is the latter half of Parshat Ki Tavo. We hear that the Jews have these blessings. The Kohanim and the Levim stand between Har Grizim and Har Eval. And half of the nation, six of the Shvatim, are on Har Grizim, and they turn in that direction for the Brachot. And half of the nation is on Har Eval, and they turn in that direction when saying the Klalot. In this particular case, Tanakh is very, very careful to make sure that you know the exact geography of where these brachot are. Now, we heard about this this mitzvah to have the brachot and klalot earlier in Sefer Dvarim, in Parashat Ekev, in Dvarim Yud Aleph. And there, the Torah tells you, V'hayaki v'yacha adonai elecha el haaretz asher ata v'asham al rishta. When you get to Eretz Yisrael, the land that you are inheriting, so you'll give the brachot on Har Grizim and the klalot on Har Eval. And then the pasuk says, "Halohema be'ever hayardein, acharei derech mevo hashemesh be'eretz haknani hayoshev ba'arava mul hagilgal etzel elonei moreh." Right, you get a very detailed description. Then the other side of the Jordan, meaning on the west, in Eretz Yisrael proper, beyond the west road in the land of the Kenani, who dwell in the Arava, near Gilgal, by Elonei Moreh. Right, that is the description that we get. Now, it sounds very much like the geography here is important. Right, that the fact that the brachot and klalot are given where they are in Har Grizim and Har Eval is significant to the process. And therefore, it shouldn't be surprising, I also picked the sugya because it touches on things you'll learn later in Sota, that Chazal spend a tremendous amount of time trying to figure out where exactly this is. And the Mishnah in Sota, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Hay, goes through the details. Brachot v'klalot keitzad. How do you have the brachot and the klalot? So, kevan shavu Yisrael da yardein uva'ol har grizim al har eval shebishomron shebitzchem shebeitel elonei moreh. When the Jews got into Eretz Yisrael and they went to har grizim and har eval that are in Shomron, near Shechem, which is near elonei moreh, shne'emar halohema be'evar hayardein. And then they go through it. Vayavor v'lalanu omer vayavor Avram ba'aretz ad mikom Shechem ad Elon Moreh ma Elon Moreh ha'amur lalan Shechem af Elon Moreh ha'amur kan Shechem. And they make a gzeirah shava. They say that the Elon Moreh that Avram went to was near Shechem, so the Har Grizim and Har Eval must be near Shechem. But there's a problem here. Okay, there is a significant problem with understanding it that it is in. It is near Shechem. And that is, when did the Jews actually give the, actually do this process of the brachot and the klalot? When does it actually happen? It happens right after which war? Which battle? Right? If God says it has to be as soon as they go into Eretz Yisrael, so which battle is it going to be after, even if you didn't know that it's an explicit pasuk in Yoshua?
After Yericho?
Very good, it's after Yericho. Now, the simple shot is that Har Grizim and Har Eival is in the Shomron. What's the problem? So let me share screen for a second. Here's a map. Here's Yericho. Okay? Here's Yericho. Here's Har Grizim and Har Eival, the ones that are in the north, the ones that are near Shechem. Now, if I switch it to Mapach Shavit, so you can see what we're looking at, right? So maybe this helps you at all. Yericho is here, right? Yericho is down near the Yarden, right? You're talking, you know, slightly north of Yerushalayim and far to the east. Har Grizim and Har Eival, if you drive, right, it's past like the modern cities of Eli. It's past Ariel. It's basically parallel to Kedumim. Right? So how many hours do you think this is going to take you to get from Yericho to Har Grizim Har Eival Shebishchem?
Many.
Yes, right? Meaning you should see how far this is on the map. Right? Now, we're not the first people to note this. The Yerushalmi was so bothered by this that the Yerushalmi brings a machlokes. And the Yerushalmi quotes two positions. The first position is that, in fact, Har Grizim and Har Eival are the ones in the north, or the ones near Shechem. And Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, they went 120 mil in one day, which is physically impossible, but they had to rely on a miracle. That's how long it took them. Right? It took, miraculously, they traveled 120 mil in one day. And the second day, Rabbi Eliezer says it's not true. You must re-understand the Pasuk, and you must say that there was no such mountain at all. There was basically two piles of dirt that they put next to Yericho, and they called one Har Grizim and one Har Eval, but these aren't Har Grizim and Har Eval at all. They're just two mounds of dirt. And they didn't bother moving because it is physically impossible that they made it to Har Grizim and Har Eval, Shepet Safon. Right? The ones that are all the way north. So, Chazal here are aware of the geographic problem, and you have Rabbi Elazar who just throws the whole thing out and says, forget it. They didn't go to Har Grizim and Har Eval, they went to a mound of dirt, and they called it Har Grizim and Har Eval. Right? It's like symbolic Har Grizim and Har Eval, but it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible that they made it there. But Rabbi Yehuda takes the pshat, and he says, no, it sounds like the Mishnah wants it to be the Har Grizim and Har Eval Shebet Safon, the ones that are in the north near Shechem. And it must be, therefore, that there was a miracle, that they traveled 120 mil all the way to Har Grizim and Har Eval. Now, if that's the case, then you have to ask the question, if you have to rely on a miracle of that nature, of that, and yes, Rami is correct, that is one of the reasons that many of the Mefarshim think that Sefer Yoshua is not chronological, because Perek Chav Dalet in Yoshua is what, Rami? Right, the last Perek, how does Yoshua end? It ends with Yoshua making a brit with the Jewish people between the Jews and God in what city? In the city of Shechem. And many of the Mefarshim who think Sefer Yoshua is out of order think that when they made the brachot and klalot in Perek Chet, it was immediately followed by a brit in Shechem, which is right next to Har Grizim and Har Eival. It's not that they've been schlepping back and forth, up and down the countryside. It's simply that first they do brachot and klalot. Once they do brachot and klalot, they make a brit in Shechem, which is smack in between Har Grizim and Har Eival. That is exactly why many of the Mefarshim think that Yoshua is not written in chronological order. But now you have to ask the conceptual question, which is, okay, why? What would motivate Rabbi Yehuda to believe that Har Grizim and Har Eival are literally Har Grizim and Har Eival in the north, that requires a miracle that they travel 120 mil, right? Again, reminding us geographically, from Yericho all the way to Har Grizim and Har Eival. So I think there are two possible answers. So what are two types of answers that you could give? Right? Why would you need to rely on such a miracle to make sure they go all the way from, right, as I said, Yericho, right, all the way up to Har Grizim and Har Eval, which as you can see, again, is all the way up north in the Shomron. So what do you think? Right? What types of answers do you think could be provided? And I know I have to end soon because there's another meeting. So give me a few types of answers. Not necessarily the specifics, but what types of reasons are you going to look for to justify this? Yes, so Chaim notes that Dvarim is very repetitive. So it's interesting because it seems to be central, right? Akev tells you that the brachot and klalot are going to happen. Kitavo tells you what they are. Right? And then Yoshua goes out of the same its way to tell you that, I mean, Akev gives you an overview of what they're going to be. Kitavo drives into them, and then Yoshua, right, you got the actual details of it happening, and then the Pasuk emphasizes that he did exactly what Moshe told him to do. But what do you think, right? What, Aaron, one second. What do you think, what could justify requiring such a miracle that would enable this geographic, right, this geographic jump all the way from Yericho to Har Gerizim and Har Eival?
Seemingly, we would have to say that there's some religious necessity to having this experience for this generation, now that we're in Israel, to see the Har Gerizim and Har Eival.
Perfect, right? So one possibility is to take a symbolic religious view of this, which is to say, well, there has to be something about Har Gerizim and Har Eival that makes it religiously significant enough that it's worth that type of miracle. That as soon as they come in Yericho, they go up to Shechem. They go up to, right? Now, the hint there seems to be, as I just said, the city that lies smack in between Har Gerizim and Har Eval, right, which is Shechem, which as we noted in Yoshua Chavdalid, is where the Jews make a brit with God. Now, this is really the direction of the Radak, and it's already implied in the Mishnah, in Sota, which is that, and I'll tell you the Radak. The Radak says, why do they bother? Why is the Brit in Shechem? So he says, well, when Avram first came in to Eretz Yisrael, he goes up to Shechem, right? Kivon ditakev Avram avinu tchila kishenechnas laaretz. Second, he says, Sham nasenes gadol Yaakov avinu. Miracles happen to Yaakov there as well. Not only were there miracles that happened to Yaakov in the Shechem area, the wars and the like, that was also the first city that he inherited, right, during the war that he had with Anshei Shechem. So what does the Radak seem to be telling us? Right? Why is it worth traveling hundreds of miles back and forth in one day to go to Har Gerizim and Har Eival? He says the answer is religious symbolic. Namely, you've got to get to the place where Avram first came when he inherited the land, Yaakov inherited the land, Yaakov had miracles that happened to him, because standing near Shechem, thinking about the fact that this is where Avram and Yaakov started their journey and God helped them and there were miraculous victories, is going to ensure that the Jews, as they say the brachot and klalot, as they accept a brit with Yoshua, are actually, right, there's power in symbolism, right? It's going to help convince them to actually follow the Torah and do what they're supposed to do in Eretz Yisrael. Now, you could give other suggestions that are similar to this, but I think the first type of answer that you're looking for is going to be symbolic, religious, is to say that there's something about Shechem that teaches the Jews something, that it's worth traveling all the way from Yericho to Har Gerizim and Har Eival near Shechem in order to get the message across. They have to keep the Torah, etc. The second type of answer might be, right, not spiritual, but so the other type of answer, and I see I got to run here, is it might simply be physical. And this was something that was suggested hundreds of years ago, like 200 years ago, I think, by a Bible scholar, a Christian scholar, Edward, what was his name? Edward, let me find it. Edward Robinson, where he was searching up near what we think is Har Gerizim and Har Eival up by Shechem. And as he was walking there, he heard a shepherd, as if the shepherd was standing next to him. And he looked around and he didn't see the shepherd at all. And then he realized that the shepherd was on the opposite mountain, was on Har Eval, and he was on Har Gerizim. Right? And he realized that the unique topography of Har Gerizim and Har Eval was such that if you stood in the valley in between, you could perfectly hear on either mountain whatever was being said from the valley in between, as if it was being said right into your ear. And therefore, he suggested that it's very simple. You don't have microphones. You don't have any way of artificially magnifying your voice. You need to say this long speech that six tribes need to hear on one mountain and six tribes need to hear on an opposite mountain. And you need them to hear what you're saying so they can respond, amen. And he said, there aren't many places where the topography works out perfectly like that. And he said he thinks that's why you had to go to Har Gerizim and Har Eval. So the second possibility may be that it's not about the symbolic nature of the place, but physically the topography of Har Gerizim and Har Eval. And just as a closing point, I would note that I think it's important to think in this way, because one of the things you'll see, and you know, you guys will hopefully go on Tehillim soon and get to actually see this, is that sometimes to understand Tanakh, as Chazal noted here in the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, you need to understand where we're talking about, right? If you just read the book and didn't bother looking at a map or understanding what you're doing, you would have no idea what's going on, right? The Yerushalmi goes so far and says that if you understand the geography, some of the Shita and Chazal just say it can't be as it sounds. It has to be just two mounds of dirt near Yericho because this is impossible. Rabbi Yehuda understands the cost of what he's saying, which is, I think Har Gerizim and Har Eval are necessary, and therefore I need to posit a miracle, because otherwise the psukim don't make any sense. But if you're going to go out of your way to posit a miracle, that forces you to ask the conceptual question, which is, why do I need to travel from Yericho all the way north, which is geographically makes no sense, and then forces you to answer the question in a way that's religiously significant, either in the way that we suggested first based on the Radak, that there's religious significance to the particular place, Har Gerizim and Har Eval, which are on Shechem, or to physically go to the place and say, maybe there's something physical about this place that I wouldn't understand unless I bothered traveling. And suddenly, when you actually take details and maps and the physical space of Eretz Yisrael seriously, you'll get insights into Tanakh that you wouldn't necessarily get if you relied only on the... Right, Tanakh is literature, meaning Tanakh is a book, reading it without actually taking into account what this looks like in real life. Okay, right, Wasserman will come.